Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today I would like to speak to you about something in the Easter story which is often neglected, and that is the devotion of the holy women to Jesus. During our Lord's life, we see a group of ladies who are devoted to him. They come up now and again in the Gospel. We find out that in St. John's Gospel that Martha and Mary minister to him. And from that we can assume that they took care of his needs with regard to food and other day-to-day items. But we see them most especially on Good Friday when they brave the Jewish mobs and the Roman soldiers in order to be at the foot of the cross of Christ. These helpless ladies, helpless against the wrath of both the Jews and the Romans. And yet, with fortitude and determination, they follow our Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Calvary, right up to the foot of the cross. And at their head is the Mother of God. And with her is St. Mary Magdalene and other women, the identity of whom, in certain cases, we are not sure. And the only man there is St. John the Apostle. The bravado of St. Peter who said that he would sooner accept death than deny our Lord Jesus Christ is nowhere to be seen. His name disappears after the threefold denial in the courtyard of the high priest. And who emerges but our Blessed Lady and these women as the faithful followers of Christ? And this devotion continues on Easter Sunday morning when they buy spices, which, by the way, are very expensive, and they go at their first opportunity after the Sabbath day to anoint Jesus. They were upset that due to the oncoming Sabbath on Friday afternoon, that our Lord was unable to be anointed according to the Jewish custom. The first opportunity according to the law of the Sabbath is early in the morning on Sunday. And they go, again, oblivious to the danger, oblivious to the fact that there is a tremendous stone in front of the tomb with a seal of the governor on it. Oblivious to the fact that there are Roman soldiers guarding the tomb. All that they know is what their hearts tell them, and that is the grief that they are experiencing due to the death of their master. And with these spices and these ointments, they are going to show forth their persevering love for him, even in his death. And off they go. And they are rewarded for their great devotion by being the first ones to receive the news of the resurrection. It was not given to St. Peter, nor even to St. John. It was given to these humble, insignificant ladies. They were the first to receive it. And it is a tradition that the first apparition of our Blessed Lord after his resurrection was to his mother. Notice that mysteriously he is gone from the tomb. He has risen from the dead, but he is not in the vicinity of the tomb. And it is a tradition that he went first to his mother. And after his mother, the next one to receive the appearance of our Lord, the next one to see him, was Saint Mary Magdalene, who, when the others had left, remained at the tomb crying. And when our Lord approached from behind, she thought that he was the gardener and complained of the fact that his body was stolen and asked him where he was placed, because she will go and get him and bring him back. What innocent, childlike devotion. And our Lord said to her, Maria. And she, turning, cried out, Master. This is the same woman of sin who burst into the home of the Pharisee and cried at the feet of Jesus. She is the privileged one today to see him before even the apostles. Because of her devotion to him, her devotion and her courage to brave what was necessary in order to be with him. This devotion of the holy women is an example to all. God created women in such a way that they have a strong devotion to anything that they do. Women by nature have bigger hearts than men. And by that, I mean that they have a greater capacity to love than men do. And the reason why they have a greater capacity to love is because they are created by God to be mothers, and the love of a mother has to be extremely intense, for they are called upon to be loyal and faithful to their children right up to the day they die, and even to hand over their own lives for the protection of their children from any spiritual or physical harm. And that love requires a tremendous strength of heart, a relentless endurance, fidelity, and loyalty. And this, by women, by nature, women have. They are also endowed with tender emotion, which intensifies their love. They are endowed with a natural tendency to kindness and to mercy and to sympathy for those who are suffering. This is the way God made you. And this lends itself to love. It is no mistake, therefore, no coincidence, that the one person of our race who loves God the most is a woman. And I am referring to the Blessed Mother of God. She is Queen of all saints. She is Queen of martyrs. She is Queen of apostles. Queen of virgins. Queen of angels. And the reason for those titles is simply this, that she loves God more than they do. For your ranking in the kingdom of God comes from the intensity of your love of God. She loves God more than the apostles did. More than St. Paul did, or St. Peter, or St. John, the intimate friend of Christ. And this is wondrous to us when we read the epistles of St. Paul and see the zeal that he has for Christ. Or when we read the Acts of the Martyrs and see how they gave themselves up willingly to the beasts of the Colosseum. Our Lady loved God more than those martyrs. Or when we contemplate the sanctity of the angels, like that of the angel that sits in the tomb today. His face was like lightning, and his raiment shined like snow, because he was from a celestial place full of holiness. Yet Our Lady loves God more than that angel. For she was given the grace to be the Mother of God. The highest of all human callings, apart from the incarnation itself. But coupled with this grace of Mother of God was her own feminine nature, by which she gave herself totally to God. So also these women have a similar devotion to Jesus and do not let him be forgotten even in the tomb. This power of a woman's love is the source of her strength and her influence. God did not intend for women to be in a place of authority or of government. And that is clear in Genesis. But when a woman's heart is fixed on God, and fixed on what is noble, true, pure, and good, she has an influence on her family, on society, and on the world at large, far greater than any authority does. For her example of persevering love teaches better than any book does. Her example to her children of devotion to the Blessed Sacrament or devotion to Our Blessed Lady teaches better than the catechism or the laws of the church. They learn more efficaciously from their mother's example than from books. A nation filled with good Catholic mothers would be a great Catholic nation. And it would be a powerful nation because virtue, which makes men strong, would be inculcated in the hearts of their children. Virtue that they learned from the hearts of their mothers. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is the copy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the Immaculate Heart of Mary is shown to us by the Church for our veneration. And there is only one thing you need to understand about it. It represents the love of God in the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A love that is so intense that it has purified her soul of any kind of disordered attachment, so much so that she never committed even the slightest venial sin. That is why her heart is said to be immaculate. And the Church would say to us, if you can imitate, even to a limited degree, the love of God in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, you will save your soul. And at the same time, our Blessed Lady was never a priest, nor did she ever wield for a moment the slightest bit of authority in the Catholic Church over the apostles or any of the faithful. We find her at the wedding of Cana, wielding her influence. And now here, at Calvary, her heart opened and pierced with a sword in fulfillment of the prophecy. Her next great event will be her Assumption. May the devotion to Christ in the tomb that these holy women have on this Easter Sunday morning be an example of our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord has placed himself in a tomb again, in a certain sense. He is a prisoner of the tabernacle. He awaits our visit. He is at our disposition. He is a victim of our own coldness to him. He sits and waits. If these holy women were zealous to take care of the dead body of Christ, if they were faithful to him in death, what would their zeal have been if they knew that he were really present, living, and risen in that tomb? Those Roman soldiers could not have held back St. Mary Magdalene, for the zeal that she would have manifested to have that tomb opened to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet in the tabernacle, as I speak, is the same Jesus of Calvary, the same Jesus of Easter morning. Do we have the zeal of these ladies for our risen Christ in the tabernacle that they had for the deceased Christ in the tomb? And when they entered the tomb, the angel said to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" A mild rebuke to them for not having expected his resurrection. And I say to you, ladies, don't seek the living among the dead. That is to say, do not seek those things that give death to your family. Do not seek those things which are your downfall: vanity, riches, human respect, impurity. Worldliness. These things bring death, and like Eve, you will bring your men to death. Rather, seek the things of life. Like our Blessed Lady, bring men to God. Whether you are young or old, be the salvation of your men. Fix your hearts on God. Turn your love to what is worthy of your hearts. For your hearts are made by God for Him. Let your example shine to your whole family, your husband, your children, remote members of your family, your grandchildren. Be to them the beacon of the love of God. And then you will give them life. And I commend to you especially devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, who is the risen Christ and who is the pledge of our eternal life and future resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.